50 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story
ABC News. I'm Jim Ryan. There was no change in the nation's unemployment claims with new numbers out today. 262,000 new claims were filed last week, the same as the week before. Daniel Penny, the suspect accused in the chokehold death of a homeless man, Jordan Neely, on a New York City subway train, has been indicted now.
Neely had a documented history of mental illness, and witnesses told police he had been threatening and harassing passengers. Neely's family responding to the indictment through their attorney, saying Daniel Penny's indictment is the right result for the wrong he committed. We will continue to fight on behalf of Jordan as this process moves forward.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez is the latest Republican to jump into the presidential race, challenging former President Trump. Suarez is the only Hispanic candidate so far in the race. Actress Glenda Jackson, who won 2 Oscars, 3 Emmys, and a Tony before turning to politics in her native Great Britain, has died. She was 87. This is ABC News. A Michigan family is hoping that parents and kids around the country will learn from their tragedy. Jordan DeMay was a student at Marquette High School when he was caught up in a so-called sextortion plot.
Investigators say Jordan was scammed last year into sending an explicit image of himself to someone he thought was a girl on Instagram. But they say he was actually speaking to Samuel Ogashi, a man from Nigeria. Prosecutors say Ogashi demanded $1,000 for the return of the image when Jordan sent only $300. They say Ogashi threatened to expose the photo to Jordan's family and friends. Hours later, his family says Jordan took his own life.
That's ABC's Lionel Moise. Jordan's mother and father are urging parents to talk with their kids about these kinds of dangers. 3 men have been arrested. There are new concerns about North Korea. South Korea says the North fired another ballistic missile into the ocean this morning. The launch comes after military exercises involving the U.S. and South Korea. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. The Green Bay Area Public School District's free summer food program started yesterday. Free and nutritious meals are available not just to kids enrolled in school or those eligible for free and reduced meal benefits, but any child under 18. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich says it's important for families and kids to have access to healthy meals and that the city's parks are the perfect setting. The program offers meals to kids in the community until August 18th at over 40 locations, including parks, museums, libraries, and community centers. The Brown County Fair is opening its gates to people with special needs. August 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, rides and games will be free. The fair will provide more caregivers to help people with the rides and allow for extra time. Brown County Fair runs from August 16th through the 20th. In local sports, the Denmark Vikings kept their three-peat hopes alive with a come-from-behind victory over Jefferson. In Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony, upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top 5 on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October. Of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobity boom boom. Scobity dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
When will it ever, ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Is it ever going to be the right time to start to raise the age of Social Security when you think about the cost of that program? You think about people are living longer, but at any given moment, the people who are in the, you know, within the 10-year range of being eligible are going to fight like hell to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so, is there ever going to be a time to do this that it's going to be like, all right, yep, this is the right thing to do? I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. And we already have a comment right out of the gate.
Excellent.
On the Facebook live stream from John Fenner. Never.
Okay, then. Thank you, John. I like that succinctness.
Yes. And so, Jane Manera, I will ask you first, since you are within that...
Couple years away.
So you obviously would not want this now, but do you think that there would ever be a palatable time to make this change?
No, I really don't. And no, are we going to expect, we really expect people to work until they're 70 and 75?
But what if they're living to 110?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I know, but I don't, if we all age the same, if we all kept our faculties at the same rate, if we all physically broke down at the same rate, but we don't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've talked to people who are retired but are still working because they like to be busy. One of my sisters is semi-retired, and she has been for a while, but she likes to do 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 73. She doesn't want to go back to work full time.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is ever going to say, yep, let's raise it to 80.
I agree with you. But it's like, the background here is yesterday, a panel of 3/4 of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal, and included in it is a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age from 67 to 69. So it would gradually raise Social Security's full retirement age. So that's the age. I'm sure I don't have to explain this to a fair amount of people out there, but bear with me. the age at which people are eligible for full Social Security benefits to 69. So the current level is 67 for those born in 1960 or later. And so slight increase. And the way I understand this is there's not actually one. Like when we talk about the retirement age, there's actually like 96 retirement ages. So there's one for each month between the ages of 62 and 70. And so what people call the full retirement age is just a placeholder in a formula that determines the benefit level at any one of those like months. So the 96 retirement ages. So people who retire at the full retirement age receive 100% of their primary insurance amount. And so that's what they're saying would go from 67 to 69. And, you know, this is not the first time that they've talked about this. It's, you know, I didn't see a lot of coverage of this proposal getting released yesterday. So it's obviously very early versus it being like a big splashy news story. But it just, for me, raised the question again, like, is it ever going to be...
Everybody's going to get on board with this.
Yeah. Because especially as you think about a lot of the people who vote for Republicans are older. And who among them is going to be like, yep, this is a good idea. Unless, I guess, if they're already wealthy, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because and have their retirement secure so they're not really worried about Social Security. But 844-967-2789, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security?
Beverly from Richland Center is on the line. Hey, Beverly, what do you think?
I think 65 is fine. I don't think it should go up any higher than that. And, you know, the Republicans saying that, you know, we've got to increase the age because it's going insolvent. There are so many other ways to solve that problem. Even Chris Christie the other night in his town hall said, you know, millionaires and the rich people, they probably don't need their Social Security. You know, why should we have to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of changes that could be made.
Absolutely. Besides raising the age, you think there's other places to be looking at besides keep bringing up this point?
Oh, sure. It's just like the Republicans say, we've got to keep cutting and keep cutting and keep cutting, rather than saying maybe we should increase taxes. It's the same level of argument.
Absolutely. So your answer is like John's, where it's never.
And mine. I'm with you on that, Beverly. I just don't think.
Yeah. And, you know, think about the fact that who in the country does most of the volunteering?
Yeah.
You know, it's the people who are able to volunteer to retire, and then they go out and volunteer. They don't stop working, but they volunteer and support their communities. You know, so you want people to work until they're dead, and who does the volunteer work?
You make really good points, Beverly, and I agree with you certainly about the income issue. Why should someone who's worth $1 billion get Social Security?
What do you think they even do with it?
Yeah. It can't even be the amount of the interest that they make.
I know. Thanks for the call, Beverly. 844-967-2789,
844-96-PARTY. David from Mequon, what do you think, David?
Well, to kind of rebut a little bit at your previous caller, so even billionaires that collect Social Security currently and multimillionaires, there's a cap as to the amount of money that, you know, the max amount of Social Security benefit that any individual can get. So it's not like it's like you get an unlimited check for Social Security. I can't remember what it is. I think it's like $3,700 a month or something. So even a billionaire, that's the max amount that they can get as far as Social Security is concerned. And if you look at what's happening in Europe, you know, France is in the same predicament, but they actually have a much lower retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question is this, is that, you know, people are living longer. And when you live longer, you're going to have to work a little bit longer, unfortunately. Now, some of the people now, like my mom, unfortunately, she died before she could even collect a check with Social Security. And so she paid into that for 30 some odd years, and she didn't see a nickel We, yeah. You know, we got, what, a $255 death benefit, you know, for her, you know, passing away before she could even collect anything. So you have these issues where, yes, people are, you know, kicking in and what have you, but the same token, we have to realize that when Social Security and Medicare and all that other stuff was put together, it wasn't like some crazy formula that they came up with, like, okay, we're going to start initially at 65. They literally picked that out of the air.
Yeah.
And at that time, 65 was, you know, back then, much different than 65 is today, because obviously people can live a lot longer, where they could live into the 90s and
even 100.
Or so.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of keep that in perspective, too.
So do you think that there's a time, like if we set it 20 years from now, so people who are in their 40s now would know that by the time they're 65, it's actually going to be 70. Do you feel like that would be palatable, or like how much of a grace period do you think if we were ever going to change the age, you'd have to give people as far as to like mitigate their expectations of this is the age that I'm working till?
Well, you know, they have this life expectancy whole thing going on now with, you know, different age groups. If you're born, you're 2000, you should live to, you know, automatically like 8 years old or whatever it is. I forgot what it is. But, you know, again, I think we have to look. I'm not sure what that, you know, how that number gets associated with. The one thing I would recommend, though, one thing that I think is frustrating. So my dad is 87. Okay, he collected Social Security well before he was in full retirement age.
Okay,
the thing for him though that stinks is that, you know, he's taxed on his Social Security again, even though he paid into it. That is considered taxable income, which is that's nuts. I think that's really a huge disservice to people that are retiring. Well, we're going to tax you for this, and then that's why people are moving to, you know, like the Floridas of the world, the Texas, and you know places like that, because at the state level at least you're not going to get nicked, but at the federal level you will.
Yeah.
So in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that is why you see a lot of retirees don't want to stick around Wisconsin, and they move to a state where they're not going to be penalized for collecting Social Security.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call, David.
Appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in.
You know what? This is a totally different tangent and probably something I'd have to research a lot more. But as David just mentioned, and they've talked about this, many people have talked about this as far as, you know, first it starts with snowbirds and people who retire to different places because of income taxes and stuff like that. But simultaneously, is that not transferring, and I'm going to say this carefully because I'm not trying to make it sound, but like the aging health burden, as we talk about boomers aging, and I know, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there's like predictions out there as far as like what the Alzheimer's is going to cost the U.S. in the next 20 years because of the amount of people who are aging. And so I think it would be interesting to look at like prediction models as far as where the migrating retiring age and like what that could potentially do to the health systems in those states. But that's a totally different topic. And so before I go down that rabbit hole, we're going to go back to the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we will take your calls when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzell, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 62. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows level off around 51. Partly cloudy again. Tomorrow, highs around 72. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. Once again, a high of 62 this afternoon. Lows level off around 51 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are asking the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? Because yesterday, a panel of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal. And in it, there was a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age. And so basically, it would specifically the Social Security's full retirement age, and it would raise it gradually from 67, where it is currently, to 69. And there was a bunch of other things in there that I don't feel like getting into today. But as far as this question that continues to feel like it pops up, that is never to a certain group that is close to that age, it is always going to be
no.
No.
Yes.
Like, don't do that.
Right.
And so I don't, like, what is the solution as far as, is this ever going to be a thing that people are, the majority of people are going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. 844-967-2789.
Randy from Waukesha is on the line. Hey, Randy, what do you think?
Well, as far as the age going up, yeah, that's a good point. But the reason I called was because your previous caller said that we get taxed on our Social Security, only federal. In Wisconsin, we don't get taxed on Social Security income.
So you don't. When did you start collecting, Randy?
When I was 62, I got laid off, and I wasn't going to find comparable employment then. Mm-hmm. But I knew I could work part time and do things. So I went ahead and started collecting at 62. My original thinking was to work till 70 for that bigger amount of money, until my brother pointed it out to me, when you get to all that bigger money, first you got to make up all the money you left on the table by not collecting earlier. Which is why, you know, I changed my thoughts on that.
Interesting.
I wasn't gonna wait till I was 70. But if they have to raise it, they have to raise it. We're not all in the same condition at 60 years old or 70 years old. Some of us are in pretty good shape. Some of us are hurting pretty bad.
Yeah, yep. Definitely.
But you're saying, as someone who's been paying into it or who has been getting your payments, you don't pay taxes on it in Wisconsin?
Not in Wisconsin.
Huh. There we go.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling, Randy. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 414. First, there are many people in very physical professions who either can't or for whom it would be very hard to keep working. The most obvious solution is to actually have everyone pay at the same rate. Once you've reached a certain income level, you don't pay anymore. Social Security is a group pension plan that's supposed to be for everyone. Everyone should pay at the same rate, just like most such plans.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And also from the 414, life expectancy is actually going down in the U.S.
Yes. And as far as what I understand, as far as life expectancy, the age group that it's actually bringing it down right now, well, one, it was COVID. And so it'll be interesting to see, as COVID is still obviously an issue. It is not the top issue anymore. But with the age expectancy is going down because of opioid overdoses. And so that is a much younger group.
Yes.
That is dying of overdoses, that is bringing down the average, as far as I understand that statistic to be interpreted as. But it is a good point. We got a message from Mike Van Summeren on the YouTube live stream. Social Security became taxable under Reagan as part of the tax cuts he passed for the wealthy. He had to fill a revenue shortfall, which is why he taxed seniors and their Social Security. Oh, Reagan.
St. Ronnie. St. Ron. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Dave from West Bend on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Just a couple of comments real quick. With taxing in the state of Wisconsin, isn't there a... Don't you have to make like a certain amount of social or collect a certain amount of Social Security before it can be taxed? I think there's probably some people that aren't really generating that much income from their Social Security where they're not taxed.
Well, we just heard from Randy saying that in Wisconsin, you don't get taxed on your Social Security.
But you do from the Fed.
But that you do from the federal. For your federal yeah, income taxes, you do get taxed, but not on the state level as far as the income tax.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't think there's a one size fits all for retirement. We probably all know some people that when you talk to them about retiring, it's like you're talking a foreign language. It could be somebody that really enjoys their job or their business that they've developed, and stopping work is they plan on working until they die. Everybody's not like that. But overall, I think that the retirement age, you either stay the age that it is or lower it.
Or lower it. Interesting.
That's never going to happen, Dave.
I started collecting when I was 62. I never really had any jobs that I really was in love with. I couldn't wait. And I also... fortunately, I've been able to avoid working part-time. I mean, working for 35, 40 years was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We got to go to another break, but let us know. Will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security, even if you're, 20 years from now, as much as things change? But every time they bring this up, it feels like there's some group that's going to get screwed over. So is there ever going to be a time where this is, feasible? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 5090 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. There was no change in the nation's unemployment claims with new numbers out today. 262,000 new claims were filed last week, the same as the week before. Daniel Penny, the suspect accused in the chokehold death of a homeless man, Jordan Neely, on a New York City subway train, has been indicted now.
Neely had a documented history of mental illness, and witnesses told police he had been threatening and harassing passengers. Neely's family responding to the indictment through their attorney, saying Daniel Penny's indictment is the right result for the wrong he committed. We will continue to fight on behalf of Jordan as this process moves forward.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez is the latest Republican to jump into the presidential race, challenging former President Trump. Suarez is the only Hispanic candidate so far in the race. Actress Glenda Jackson, who won 2 Oscars, 3 Emmys, and a Tony before turning to politics in her native Great Britain, has died. She was 87. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin.
A 23-year-old Appleton man is headed to prison for coercing a minor into explicit sex acts. According to WFRB-TV in Green Bay, Judge James Peterson sentenced Wong Lo to 15 years in federal prison, followed by 15 years of supervised release. Lo pled guilty to the charges in March. The Green Bay Area Public School District's free summer food program started yesterday. Free and nutritious meals are available not just to kids enrolled in school or those eligible for free and reduced meal benefits, but any child under 18. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich says it's important for families and kids to have access to healthy meals and that the city's parks are the perfect setting. The program offers meals to kids in the community until August 18th at over 40 locations, including parks, museums, libraries, and community centers. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bright. She is Jane Madnair, and we are wrapping up our conversation around, is there ever going to be a good time to raise the age of Social Security? So far, we've heard basically no.
Pretty much not.
Pretty yes. much, we've yet to hear from someone who's made an argument of like, yeah, this is going to be the best policy to do just that. But still taking your calls and your texts, 844-967-2789.
414 says, instead of changing eligibility through age, how about Social Security be flat taxed? The same tax on everyone, regardless of income. Leave the age alone, please. And from the 262, Social Security, it's one thing when you're talking about other countries, you have to consider they have far more robust universal healthcare programs.
That is also very
true. That is very true.
That's very different. Well, and that's what's so wild to think about, you know, the protests that are still happening in France as far as changing the pension age, that I think even as of, where did I see this? This month, French pension reform protesters briefly stormed 2024 Olympics headquarters, and that was June 6th.
Oh, wow.
So they are still protesting from raising the age, I think, from 62 to 64, if I'm remembering that correctly, as far as what the change was that they want to make. And that is also on top of the fact that they do have a very robust
healthcare
system.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to us. And I was having this conversation last night. I went to the night market in Milwaukee and talking about maternity leave. And I was talking to a couple who he owns a bunch of his own businesses and restaurants and bars and stuff like that. So, and their kids are, one just graduated high school, one's in high school. So this was a while ago, relatively. But he was like, I took 2 weeks off and I think she was back to work and within 4 weeks.
Cause wow.
She was, orthodontist assistant or something, and she was hourly. And I, you know, as compared to, and it's just so funny how we think about that, because one, there's certain companies in the US, like a Google. Like I have a friend who's working for Google who's pregnant right now. She's due in July. She's taking 9 months off.
Wow.
And that's what they, I mean, that's what Google pays her.
Wow.
And
they're going to pay her for 9 months.
They're going to pay her for 9 months. And I like, cause I said, I was like, you know, it's like, I'm taking 12 and like, I'm lucky enough to be at a place that is allowing me to take 12. But then you think about, there's a certain countries where that like the whole year is like, that's just what it is. And like the range of what is expected when it comes to taking care of your health or postpartum or all these different things where it's not that uncommon for people to go back to work after having a baby, of which your body, it's pretty traumatizing. And some people are back to work within a week or two.
I can't even imagine. I can't. I just the difficulty in parting from your infant that early,
yeah,
must just be excruciating.
Well, on top of that, also, who's going to take care of it?
Well, right.
I know as of right now, there is, starting at 10 o'clock today, there is a protest happening. No, I don't know a protest, but there is, I guess, yeah, a protest happening for the Save the Child Care Counts that's happening in Madison right now to try to advocate for including provisions in our state budget to continue to fund childcare. So we've talked about it before on this on the show, as far as if we as a state do not backfill what was part of federal funds to, as far as the infrastructure bill, I think that was the infrastructure.
I believe so.
And there's going to be, it's already the scarcity and the expense of childcare is only going to get worse if we don't do something in this budget to supplement it, because half of Wisconsin already lives in a childcare desert, meaning there's not even availability. And I would say the cost of actually getting childcare, for even if you can access it, is very expensive.
Yes.
And so to not have any kind of subsidies for that, it's only going to get more expensive, and more childcare centers are only going to close. And so I know that's happening this morning. And so hopefully that'll make a difference.
One can hope. One can always hope.
But speaking of the Capitol, there's a lot going on there. It was funny. I'm good friends with Jesse Opoyan, who for the last 10 years had been at the Cap Times as a political reporter and the Capitol Times or the Capitol Bureau chief. And now she's in her second week of being the political reporter for Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
So I just texted her, goes, "How's it going?" And she just wrote back, "Busy."
Jesse's always busy.
But this is an especially busy time. So I'm going to try to run through as many of the updates as I can of what's been happening in Madison in the 10 minutes we have in this segment, probably can't get too deep into anything. We'll revisit things as we need to. But here's, you know, kind of a rundown of what's going on in Madison, where we're at the, you know, it's mid-June. This budget is supposed to be done by the end of June. And things are both being productive and a little testy. Emotions, I think, are running a little high. So yesterday, the legislature passed the bill that averts Milwaukee's financial crisis. So it lifts aid to local governments. So state lawmakers passed the controversial legislation that keeps Milwaukee from entering a fiscal crisis in a bipartisan vote that pushed 12 Republicans to vote against the legislation and 19 Democrats to vote in favor of it. So don't see that very often.
No,
as far as as much of a split from the moderates kind of being like, let's get this done, and people on both sides voting against it. But the result boosts funding in local governments across Wisconsin by increasing the amount of revenue that returns to those governments from the state. So this is known as shared revenue.
Shared revenue.
And it allows the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to each implement a new and or additional sales tax through 2/3 votes of the common council and the county board of supervisors, as opposed to letting voters decide. But to get this done, the big trade-off was it required Evers to agree to a separate bill, which boosts funding for private school vouchers, which, as you can imagine, over the last week has drew a fair amount of outrage from Evers' oldest allies, which is the Wisconsin Teachers Union.
Sure.
Because it falls way short of the funding that was asked for public schools. It does give some more money to public schools, but not nearly what they were asking for. And it is a huge boon to private schools, charter schools, and the voucher program. And so that legislation also passed in both chambers, with two Democrats, each in the Senate and Assembly, joining Republicans to vote yes. But certainly not the same amount of bipartisanship as there was on the shared revenue bill.
Right.
So once the shared revenue bill is signed by Evers, this is going to fall into the hands of the Common Council and the County Board in Milwaukee, where they will have to get 2/3 vote on it. And it's not known exactly, but that is going to be, that's not a slam dunk either, because there is a fair amount of people on both of those, on the Common Council and the County Board, who are already pretty vocal about how mad they are about all of this and about the overreach and the overreach into local control. And there's been criticism from Milwaukee Common Council members who said the policies contained in the local government funding bill are, quote, overreaching, micromanaging, and frankly, racist. And in particular, council members have objected to the policies that take aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the city and statewide. And this is a whole other battle that we've been hearing about for a while, as far as like DEI, the new boogeyman, after it was CRT.
Replacing CRT.
Yeah,
yes.
Like it was CRT. It's like CRT, trans issues, and now DEI. And Voss responded to that criticism of racist policies yesterday. And he said, liberals, quote, want race, color, and gender to be a part of everything and almost mandated for what people should believe. That's not what taxpayer dollars should be for. If you want to raise money in the private sector, if you want to have a bake sale or put money into your own ideology, you have every right to do that because we live in America. But it's not right to use taxpayer dollars to try to push one ideology over another.
This seems cherry picky to me.
It just, you know, I heard a great analogy, and I feel like there's probably another day that we can get more into the DEI conversation. But as far as like, it was legal and the government had overreach for so much of our history. When we think of redlining, when we think of like just how many laws that were in place that disproportionately affected minorities negatively. And now that we're at a place in society where we recognize that that is wrong and we're trying to make up for the fact that there are groups of people who were held down because of the government, but now the government shouldn't be involved. And so that's a deeper conversation for another day. But because of a different place where Voss also wants to cut DEI, which is the UW system, they, as of this week, they have not voted on this yet, but it is at the UW level. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss proposed a $32 million cut in an attempt to dismantle campus diversity offices. But yesterday, Governor Evers said that he would veto any state budget if Republicans advance the $32 million cut to the UW system, which is a pretty bold, considering how much negotiation has been happening across all of these different bills. But he said yesterday, to cut at this point in time, the University of Wisconsin system, the University of Wisconsin system, when we have a $7 billion surplus, is irrational. I'm hopeful that will change before the budget is passed. And in reaction to that, Voss said he couldn't imagine Evers would veto the largest investments in public schools, the largest investments in generations in our local governments, and more money just for about every priority he has, which is true as far as, like, is he going to all of this other work that's been done
squash it all?
Squash it all over the $32 million cut. But, like, we haven't even talked about the proposals for UW and how much this completely hamstrings them over this DEI thing.
Well, and the whole School of Engineering is just, it's so short-sighted. It's stunning.
But the whole thing is short-sighted. Like, the entire argument that we should not be fun, like, that the gem of a UW system and how that keeps talent, how that grows talent, how that keeps people, young people and working age population in Wisconsin, and to continue to cut and cut and cut and not support and, like, really prop it up as this, like, us versus them from the Republicans in the legislature versus the UW system, to me just feels so, I mean, it's not new, but it also just feels so incredibly short-sighted. And especially because, like, I don't think Jay Rothman, head of the UW system, is, like, a staunch liberal, right? Like, doesn't he comes from the private sector, and, like, everything he's said as far as what he's trying to do with the UW system, like, he's said, like, he's made arguments of why diversity is good as, in, like, an economic reason for not cutting these programs, and yet that is the topic du jour and the ish, like, the battle cry as far as why they don't deserve more money. But then now we only have a minute left. So here, a couple more things that are happening in Madison. We'll dive deeper into these over the next week. But the legislature also approved a series of housing-related bills, which passed very bipartisanly through a lot of bipartisanship. They also voted to boost road funding, but at an increase of an electric vehicle fee. So it would be $100, it'd be $175 instead of $100. And also, Voss also said Medicaid expansion will never happen so long as he is Speaker.
Never.
Never.
We don't need it.
Who says no to $1 billion? Robin Voss says no to $1 billion. All right. Certainly not enough time for any of that, but that is your capital catch-up. When we come back, Beyonce can raise inflation. Who knew? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 60. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 51. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 72. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. Another look at the short range, highs reach 60 this afternoon. Lows level off around 51 tonight, highs reach 72 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
We run this mother.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And yesterday in the U.S., the Federal Reserve did indeed held off on raising interest rates for the first time.
Long time.
It's been a pretty historic campaign to curb inflation that's been going on for 15 months. So now it's giving them more time to assess the impact of previous hikes on the economy. The Fed's decision leaves the benchmark federal funds rate at its current rate range of 5% to 5.25%, ending a streak of 10 consecutive increases, which is largely due, I think, to the earlier report that inflation has gone down some. But in Sweden, not quite the same story.
This is a crazy story.
So yesterday, Sweden reported higher than expected inflation for May, causing economists to wonder what could have kept prices elevated. And then it hit them. Beyonce.
What?
Beyonce. The pop superstar kicked off her Renaissance tour in Stockholm last month, drawing 80,000 plus fans to the city's Friends Arena over two nights.
Wow.
In response to the influx of concert goers, hotels and restaurants raised their prices to such a degree that it boosted overall inflation.
Oh, my goodness.
So the fact that one person, by the sheer force of her popularity, was responsible for higher inflation in an entire country is remarkable, not normal. Insert adjective here. But I mean, I don't know if has anything like this ever happened before. At least in there, one of the chief economists in Sweden said, quote, "It's quite astonishing for a single event. We haven't seen this before." And so, you know, Beyonce's tour arrives in the U.S. next month. So hopefully that doesn't affect Jerome Powell's decision to raise interest rates again. But isn't that unbelievable?
It really is. And all I can think of is, let's hope that Beyonce and Taylor Swift don't go on a global world tour because they're going to wreck economies all over the globe.
Well, they basically are right now. I mean, they're the two of them together being on their tour. Because Taylor's starting to announce international dates.
Oh, she is.
I think the first one was in Argentina. Because they're both, I don't know if they're actually, this has been stated, but either of them, both of them, could be the first artist to ever reach a $1 billion tour based on the tours that they're on right now. And which is unbelievable. And it was funny because I had a friend ask me the other day, out of the blue, he was like, "Who do you think is the artist of our generation?" And I said, "Either Taylor Swift or Beyonce." And I would say I like both of them. I'm a bigger Beyonce fan than Taylor Swift fan, but I have come to very much recognize how unbelievably talented Taylor Swift is.
They both are.
What was really wild to me when I was thinking about that question is no men even come up for, like, of my, like, because even after Taylor Swift and Beyonce, when we talk about longevity, when we talk about cultural influence, when we talk about the amount of, you know, what they do to Ticketmaster and how expensive, like, what people are willing to pay to go see them, how many people are willing to pay that to go see them. Those two are for sure the top that come to mind. After that is potentially, like, a Lady Gaga.
Sure.
Potentially at one point, not probably never again. Kanye might have been up there at one point. But, like, I can't think of any men who would top that list.
That's a really good point.
And not that have never, because obviously the Beatles, Michael Jackson, sure, and, like, sure, in sure. previous generations, but it was recent. Certainly men.
But
like, currently, if you think about, like, Gen Z, millennial age right now, because, like, Beyonce and Destiny's Child, I was in middle school when they first came out with their Bills, Bills, Bills. And, like, I think I was in, like, sixth or seventh grade. And she has been in the dominant culture since the late 90s and is still dominating it. Taylor Swift is a little bit behind her. But still, since she was 14.
She was a teenager.
She's been just, like, never not relevant, basically. And only gaining probably popularity and reinventing themselves as far as, like, because you think about, like, Madonna before them reinventing herself. But I don't know. Do you have any? I would love to hear from people at home, 844-967-2789. As far as the current, like, Gen Z, millennial, even Gen X generations, like, who is the artist, the musical artist of that generation, if not Beyonce and Taylor Swift? And is there anyone that you can think of that's a man? 844-967-2789. Can you think of anyone?
My mind immediately went to the Backstreet Boys, but that's that's 90s, you know, right?
And I would say their longevity was less than a decade.
It was probably about 10 years, right?
I don't even know if it was that long. Because by the time, I mean, they gained popularity when I was also in middle school. And I feel like by the time I was in high school, NSYNC, like, because I would say by the time it was college, like, Justin Timberlake went solo in, like, 2003 or 2004. And then NSYNC was over. And I'm not sure any of the Backstreet Boys necessarily had a super successful solo run.
Except for Timberlake, no.
So I would say no, like, definitely not, as far as a career that spans 2 to 3 decades at this point.
I mean, the Rolling Stones are still alive.
Yeah, but I would not say that they are of this generation at all. Like, even though they're still touring and they span generations, I would never argue that they're the artists of, like, of my generation.
Right.
Can you think of anyone else?
Unless it's some country artists.
But I don't think that's of a generation. That's of a genre.
Right.
And so,
sorry, guys. You got your work cut out for you.
Seriously. And I was like, even rock, like, bands. Are there any bands right now that, like, top that? And granted, I am not the most informed music fan. So maybe someone out there who knows more about, I don't know, but just as a layperson, off the top of my head, these two women, both financially and I think culturally, are absolutely dominant. So much so that they are changing economies.
Affecting inflation.
So, all right. Well, when we come back from the top of the hour news, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here too for our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement. And then at 11:30 next hour, what's it like to grow up with a weird name? Do you have a weird name? What's the strangest name you've ever come across? Because, you know, I gotta name a kid someday, pretty soon. So we're going to talk about that at 11:30. But for now, we're going to go to the news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Home run. We run the world. Home run.
summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now. 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm